We're Building Bridges with Mimi Rosenberg and Ken Nash.
With a Black History Month and now Women's History Month broadcast special. Fannie Lou Hamer started picking cotton at age 6 and was forced to leave school to work full-time. Rather than defeat her, this would strengthen her resolve for the empowerment of her people and foretold her becoming the mother of the voting rights movement in the Mississippi Delta. Her courageous struggle for the right to vote was filled with danger and sacrifice. She lost her livelihood on the plantation she worked on, and she would then lose her home. There were constant threats to her life. She was jailed and brutally beaten. But she did win her right to vote, and then went on to co-found the Mississippi Freedom Democratic Party and challenge the political power of the all-white Dixiecrats. Hamer helped organize Mississippi's Freedom Summer along with the Student Nonviolent Coordinating Committee and co-founded the National Women's Political Caucus, created to recruit, train, and support women to seek election. She lost her life to breast cancer at age 59, but her spirit is eternal. Now, Fannie Lou Hamer, her song on the road to freedom, a one-woman play written, performed, and sung by the magnificent Emzuri Moyo Mbaye.
Mine eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord. He has trampled out the vintage where the grapes of wrath are stored, and he has loosed the faithful lightning of his terrible swift sword. His truth is mine, marching on. Oh, glory, glory, hallelujah. Oh, glory, 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 hallelujah. Oh, glory, 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 hallelujah. He is his truth. He is more. Born in Guinea, West Africa, shot at 41 times. But only 19 of those New York City police bullets had his name on it. Turned his body into a human faucet. And now the badges that they wear have a gloss to it. Eleanor Bumpus, 95 years old. She never will live to tell the stories that she could have told. You see, they all done called me from my grave, and they just won't let me rest. They say, Fannie Lou, we think you still got something to say. We think you need to tell them all about back then so they can see the direction that they need to go in. My name is Fannie Lou Hamer, and I'm sick and tired of being sick and tired. Let me hear y'all say it. His truth is marching on. Oh, glory, 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 hallelujah. Oh, glory, 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 hallelujah. Oh, glory. in the Delta, but dropped off at the back door of the Mississippi and laid out in the heart of blistering cotton fields where my skin cooked because the sun knew no mercy. My feet was calloused like the hearts of those whose pockets was lined with sweaty dollar bills made by starving children, crippled men, and forgotten women. You know, Mama say when I come from her womb, I had cotton stuck up in the roof of my mouth. The scars that my granddaddy wore across his back that his slave owner gave him laid quietly across my forehead. And by the time I was 6 years old, they say these hell fangers was destined to be great cotton pickers. Now, y'all don't need to start squirming in y'all chairs already, because I'm just beginning to tell my story. And that is the story of the forgotten people, the people nobody cares to remember, the people who was willing to die for your freedom. No, not because they wanted to, because they ain't had no other choice. You see, the brutality and horror that we live daily may die easy. So put your ears to the wall now here and listen real good to our story. I want to make sure you forget. Don't forget. As a matter of fact, I may have to die and come back a few times before I do. Children, I was born in 1917. And I was the 20th child of Joseph and Ella Townsend. And I was brought up on the side of the river where hung dry mouths of babies slept in hunger and lived in agony. And their dreams waited for you. They waited for you in between the unashamed rows of forever calling cotton. And 300 years of lies weighted you down to unpromised tomorrows and unhappy yesterdays. But nothing can kill the spirit. And it ain't separate from you or nothing in this creation. That is the real power. You see, right now we all have that power within us to change anything we know ain't right. And I used mine in Mississippi. But what I want to know is, how is y'all going to use your power to make a change in this here world today? You see, they called me the messenger of truth. But the truth is, so is you. So is you, and so is you. You know, there were so many things in the struggle that kept me holding on. Singing was one of the things that kept me true to the Lord, because you see, when I was locked up in a brick cell and I hadn't done anything to anybody, all I wanted to do was register to vote. And I knew I was there for a reason. One of my favorite songs, "Come to Me," it would help me to hold on. Just come from nowhere. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. Everywhere that I go, I'm gonna let it shine. Everywhere I drank from the waters of the bitter sweat of slavery, but it never did define me or my people who had their hearts crushed and splattered against the bloody wall of freedom. Just cause we was captured and chained children did not make us no slaves. I want somebody to go to the Bible and show me where it say, let there be light and let there be slaves. You see, that was man's doing. And that's man's doing who stands by and allows similar injustices to go on today. Like Hurricane Katrina. My back may have been crumbled and worn from 1,000-pound days. And 6 generations of fangers had been frayed by cotton picking. And many a human spirit have been crushed and splattered by hatred and racism on the Senator James O. Eastland plantation. But my vision had not been clouded, for I could see a new day that was coming on an old horizon. You know, there were a time in America when us so-called colored peoples couldn't vote. And I say so-called because what we is captured Africans. That's right, you ain't never stopped being African. And I don't care how light you is. Color ain't never made no race of peoples. If color's what make a race of peoples, then there's a whole lot of white folks out here that's colored. Especially after they come from the beach. You know, the white man claimed he didn't believe in race mixing and he didn't believe in integration. Then I want somebody to tell me, how did so many of us get to be so light-skinned? It's because there's been a whole lot of nighttime integration going on, Strom Thurmond. You know, scientists nowadays say that every single one of us come from an African woman named Lucy. But you know, my grandmama always said, Fannie Lou, baby, God only made one race, and that's the human race. And you know, I always believed her. No, me and my husband, Pap Hamer. Lord, don't get me to talking about that man. Lord, I love that man. Me and Pap Hamer worked on this here W.D. Marlowe plantation where I was his timekeeper for 18 long years. And after several attempts to come register to vote, I was called in to come see him. Mr. D, as we had to call him. With hatred, dead clean up in his eyes, he looked up at me. Fannie Lou, did you go down there to register to vote? And I took and addressed him, yes, sir, Mr. D, I did. Fannie Lou, you know we ain't ready for this down here in Mississippi. Now what you gonna do? Mr. D, I did not go down there to register for you, sir. I went down there to register for myself. But if you don't withdraw, I'm gonna have to let you go. Well, I have y'all to know that I left that night. Because he might not have been ready, but we had been ready down here for the last 400 years. Now, I failed that voter's registration test 2 times. And I kindly looked up at them and I informed them, you're going to see me here for the next 30 days until I pass. Well, after that, I passed. But I still wasn't allowed to register to vote because they told me I needed 2 poll tax receipts. Well, I'll have y'all to know that I got my 2 poll tax receipts, and I was a registered voter, and I was a citizen of these here United Snakes of America. Go tell it on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain that voters registration is here. I said, go tell it on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere. freedom fighter, you're a freedom fighter. We all are freedom fighters. Knight Riders fired 16 shots into my friend's home, where I stayed after I was run off that Marlow plantation. And nobody ever tried to find out who did it. But I'm still here on God's green earth doing what I gotta do. And ain't nobody gonna turn me around. So you might as well accept it. Colored peoples is going to get the right to vote, no matter how long it takes and no matter what it takes. You see, I didn't come here to create an all-black world. And I'm not going to sit down and tolerate an all-white one either. This is our country too, and it belongs to all of us, including the Indians y'all done stole it from. You know, all this happened in my town where I'm from, Ruleville. Ruleville, Mississippi. I guess you know why they call it Ruleville, because they done made a whole lot of rules to keep colored peoples in their place. The first rule was, we got to work from sun sitting up to sun laying down. Ain't nobody gave it whether we slept, ate, or laid down. They call that economics Mississippi style. Now let me tell you about democracy American style. From June to October in 1962 in Macomb, Mississippi alone, there had been 17 businesses, churches that was burned, 9 beatings, 4 arrests, all on the count that we wanted to register to vote. But I have y'all to know that I changed those rules. America, creating wars all around the world is destructive to the human race. But what you did down here in Mississippi and throughout the United States is destructive to the democratic race. So America, I say to you, no more wars and no more hate. Well, I guess y'all know by now that I had to run for Congress. Don't look so surprised just because I got these breasts. Don't make me less than no man, black or white. These breasts have nursed this entire world. Besides, somebody up in that government needed some sense. You know, some folks, all you had to do was give them $2 in the car and they thought they was free. Tell you, baby, America was sick and on the critical list. You know, something had to been mighty wrong. Out of 400,000 Negroes, only 6,000 of us was allowed to register to vote. I might have gotten cheated out of that Congress seat. But I promise you this. I haven't been beat. The fighting is just starting to begin. And I promise you this. We're going to win. Justice is needed. So what I want all y'all to do is get on out and register to vote. Even if you think your vote ain't counted. Oh, we shall, we shall. I picked a whole ton of cotton one year. And it felt like it could fill up 10 rooms just like this here, and I still did not have enough money to feed my babies. But that's nothing, because there were so many children down in Mississippi on those sharecropping plantations that literally starved to death. And baby, where minimum wage is today, I wonder how many of you feed your family. Think about it. Lord, when I think about it, all those homes that didn't have no heat, no electricity, no running water. And these children would drink rainwater out of oil barrels that would sit for weeks at a time. And it would make them sick. And it would make them weak. And there was a boy in my hometown. I tell you, that boy was 18 years old and he never walked a day in his life because his bones never formed because his diet was so poor. Then I remember me and my sweet mama. Me and mama used to do what they call scrapping. We would walk up to 27 miles at a time looking for scraps of cotton to make ends meet. Just like a lot of you today trying to hold it down with two jobs. My mama used to wrap my tiny little feet in rags and tie a string around it. Because I ain't had no shoes. And me and mama would go to walking. We would walk and walk. We would walk until my feet was bloody, froze, and raw. And if I think back on it, I could still feel that pain. And I can still feel that hunger. You know, us little colored children wasn't allowed to go to school because we had to be out there in September picking that cotton. So I say to all the young people, stay in school and get your education. But you know, through all of that, I never found it in my heart to hate nobody. What I want to know is, how do you hate another human being? How? Because that means not only do you hate yourself, but it means you hate God. And I don't mean that white Jesus you got hanging on the crosses in these here churches. I know God can't be no white man, baby. God can't be no man at all. You see, I believe that God is beyond this flesh. I believe that God is a sweet melody, a melody that lives inside of each and every one of us, a melody that reminds me of my grandmama's favorite song. I can still hear her sing it. Mama out in that cotton field chopping wood, and one day a piece of wood got in her eye and she lost her vision because we didn't have money to take her to the doctor. And I said, Mama, why does things always happen to black people? She said, Fannie Lou, don't you say that, because if you respect yourself as a black woman, the world is going to have to respect you. That's how I remember my mama. I closed my eyes one day. When I opened them, I looked up. And I could see him. Children dressed up real pretty. There was food everywhere. looked like a picnic. Picnic. Know what that means? It means pick a nigga. The trees were swaying in the wind, and the flowers was looking straight up in the eyes of God and all. And the sun was giving life to everything it touched. And then I looked over, and I see the bleeding tree. Nobody was saying a word. How could people be eating and celebrating when there is a bleeding tree? Southern trees bear a strange fruit, blood on the leaves, blood at the root, black body swinging in the southern. Hanging from the poplar tree. Pastoral scenes of the gallant south, the bulging eyes and the twisted mouth, scent of magnolia, sweet and fresh. Then the sudden smell of burning flesh. Here is a fruit for the crows to pluck, for the rain to gather, and the wind to suck, for the sun to rot, and the tree to dry. Here is a strange that could have been my son. Except that I never did bring forth life from my womb. My friend that worked in my doctor's home as his housekeeper told me that she had overheard him tell somebody one day that when I had gone into the hospital for a local operation, he had taken out my uterus. He said, I won't never go need it. But you see, that was a practice that they used to do in the South on young black women. They used to sterilize them. Now I understand that Congress is trying to control the reproductive rights of all women, no matter what color you are. Ladies, are you going to give them that right? Well, I tell you, if you don't get out and register to vote, you will. You will. Somehow God blessed me with four adopted daughters. But my eldest daughter, Dorothy, she bled to death in my arms on our way to a hospital 127 miles away because colored people wasn't allowed to go into the local hospital. Now I understand that there's more than 45 million Americans that can't afford health care because it's just too costly. Lord, how I knew things was going to change. I knew they were going to change. Now it's 2006. Now all you young women got what you call your sexual freedom. But let me tell you this. Women of color between the ages of 44 and 24 will make up 75% of all the new AIDS cases. So you women, I'm calling on all of you, and I don't care what color you are, you need to help in this new struggle called AIDS. You know, some say that we was fighting for equality, but me, I ain't never wanted to be equal to no murderers. We was fighting for democracy. Can't you see how this struggle affects all of us as women? You see, this is your struggle too, whether you know it or not. You know, that doctor may have cut out my uterus, but every day that you stand by and do nothing in the struggle of AIDS, the man is cutting off your power. You can at least stand up for an issue that affects all of us as women. You know, my mama always told me, Fan Lou, respect yourself, and the world will have to respect you. Now, I hate to say this, but I'm not too surprised that some of my white sisters didn't care too much about the racism problem. But baby, let me tell you, this AIDS just ain't about race. You know, back then that man had some of you believing and thinking that you was better than me because of the color of your hair and the color of your eyes, and you stood back and you watched all of these misjustices done to me based on these lies. But let me tell you something that we've learned. Living in all this hatred down here in Mississippi, and I don't think too many people knows it better than us. We learned it in that very same heart that hating colored people live in. Hating women live there too. So ladies, I want you to stand up for what you know when your heart is right. You know, I may not have lived in a fancy house, but I live my truth. And I stand before all of you and tell you that today it's women of color with AIDS, but tomorrow it just might be you. Well, I guess y'all know by now that I'm a liberated woman. That's right, but I had me a black man that stood 6'4". And baby, he weighed 240 pounds. And he weighed wear a size 14 shoe. I didn't want to be liberated from that. Y'all ladies know what I'm talking about. I was here to stand side by side with this black man trying to bring about liberation to this entire nation. You see, yes, I was a woman as strong as any woman my age. I helped deliver the message. But the burden of this nation must be shouldered by men. And black men, I say to you this evening, black men, stand up. Don't accept second-class citizenship in the name of integration. And don't accept inferior positions. Your families need you. Your mothers need you. The mothers of your children need you. In your hand may lie the salvation of this nation. And maybe one day we can overcome all this hatred, racial hatred. God only knows where it comes from. But all I know is that we shall overcome. We shall overcome. Oh, we shall overcome someday. Oh, deep, deep in my heart, I do believe that we shall. America It's Sunday morning, 11 o'clock a.m. That's when a bunch of these hypocrites converge on these churches for the sake of paving the minister's way to hell and theirs too. While these old chicken-eating preachers and the bourgeoisie. Sometimes I wonder why any of you even bother to go to school. A lot of you have become a bunch of miseducated fools. What y'all doing for the poor people? You know, I didn't have all the education in the world, but I did have enough sense to pick up my brother that had less than I had. What kind of education is it that separates you from your brother that's got less than you? You see, I wasn't afraid of nobody, but I did fear the Lord. So after singing low to a sweet chariot that hadn't been so sweet to us, and wading in the water, waiting for changes to come, up in the backwoods and down in the cotton fields of the Mississippi, we decided that democracy didn't seem to have a home yet. So what we was going to do, we started the Mississippi Freedom Democratic Party, because we was going to fight this war with the tongue and not the gun. Oh, Joshua, fit the battle, Jericho, Jericho, Jericho. Joshua, fit the battle, Jericho, and the walls came tumbling down. You can talk about your men now, yeah. Talk about your men of old, but nothing's like good old Joshua at the battle of Jericho. Well, well, Joshua fit the battle of Jericho, Jericho, Jericho. Joshua fit the battle of Jericho, and the walls came tumbling. Chicken and shoe boxes. And we put it on the bus even before we got on it. Because we wanted to make sure we was going to get fed on our way to getting our freedom at the 1964 Democratic Convention in Atlantic City, New Jersey. You see, all of them senators and congressmen sitting up in there, they wasn't seated legally there because we wasn't allowed to register to vote. So we're going to challenge them. And this is my story that I told in Atlantic City, New Jersey, at the Democratic Convention. Mr. Chairman and the Credentials Committee, my name is Fannie Lou Hamer. And I live at 626 Lafayette Avenue, Ruleville, Mississippi, and 10 of us was traveling by Continental Trailway bus. Some of us workers wanted to get down off the bus to use the restroom, and some of them wanted to go in to eat in the restaurant. And then I looked up and I seen them being run out. And then I said, well, this is Mississippi. Then I saw some of the workers being arrested. And I got down off the bus to see what was going on, and I heard a frantic voice say, Miss Hamer, please, Miss Hamer, get back on the bus, Miss Hamer. And then I was arrested. They handcuffed me and they kicked me and they called me names. I have never heard a human being being called before. Then we were taken to a jail cell in Winona, Mississippi. We were placed in cells. I was placed in a cell with a Miss Uvesta Simpson, and not so long we could hear these licks and we could hear these screams. These licks and these screams went on and on and on. And then I could hear him say, "Can't you say yes, a nigga?" Then I heard her praying and asking God to forgive them because they did not know what they were doing. And these licks and screams, they went on and on. And then when I looked up, I seen her come walking toward me, Miss Elnell Ponder. They looked like they had beat her eye clean out of her head, and her clothes was all ripped off, and as the blood trickled down her lips, I could hear her whisper the word, "Freedom. Freedom." Then they came to my cell and they said, "What's your name, gal?" And I said, "My name is Fannie Lou Hamer." And they said, "We're going to check that." And they came back and they said, "Yes, nigga, your name is Fannie Lou Hamer. And we're going to make you wish you were dead." So they took me out of that cell. And they put me in what they call the bullpen. And they got two young Negro boys that had been arrested the night before on vagrancy charges. They were about 18 years old. And by orders of that highway state patrolman, that first Negro boy had me lay face down on the cot. And they gave that boy a baton about this big. And they said, "Beat him." And he looked down at the thing. And he said, "You mean you want me to beat her with this?" And they said, "Yes, because if you don't, you know what we'll do to you." And that first Negro boy, he beat me. That boy beat me. Oh, no. That boy beat me until my body turned navy blue. And he beat me. And when I touched my body, it felt like a brick. And then I started moving my left leg on the side where I had polio to pull my dress down. And they had that second boy take that baton and he beat me until I asked God, "Lord, just take my life. Lord, take my life." So you see, Mr. Chairman, if we don't get seated today, I question America. Is this the land of the brave and home of the free where their citizens have to sleep with their phone off the hook because their life be threatened daily? All on the count that they run a register to live as decent human beings? And as of today, I have a permanent kidney injury and a blood clot to my left eye. Nobody have ever been charged. Thank you. Thank you. Come by here, my Lord. Come by here. Heal this nation, Lord, come by here. Come by here, my Lord. Come, come by here. Oh. day. Goodman and Cheney. There were SNCC workers that had come down to work with us for Freedom Summer, and they was drowned. Joe F. Acalia was an honor student, and on the day of her graduation, baby, somebody came by and blew her brains clean out of her head. All that you could have the right to vote. You know, black and white women came together like never before, and they had this group called Wednesdays. And as of today, there's more black delegates in Mississippi than anywhere. There were many who came to help us. I started Pig Farm and Freedom Bank. Harry Belafonte supported us faithfully. And I'd like to tell y'all tonight that if there's somebody that you know that is not registered to vote, tell them my story. Tell them that somebody bled and died for them to have that right to vote. And I know many of you may not have known my name. Fannie Lou Hamer. But each and every time you go to register to vote, still I rise. Still, I rise. Shattered, but I'm not broken. Wounded, your time will heal. Heavy, the load across I bear. Oh, your vote, because if you don't, it may be too late. Love one another. Love one another. And we will rise, rise, rise.
You've been listening to Emzuri Moyo Mbaye's production, Fanny Lou Hema, her song on the road to freedom.
This has been Building Bridges with Ken Nash and Mimi Rosenberg. Stay strong, stay well, and educate, agitate, and organize for the empowerment of we the people. For another world is possible.